the National Portrait Gallery, which is where the exhibition is, are not allowed, as part of their rules, they're not allowed to take portraits of sitting politicians into their permanent collection. So I've had to lend them the portrait so that it could be in the exhibition. It's a bit frustrating for everybody, but as soon as people retire, they grab the portraits up. So I'm hopeful that when Julia Gillard finally retires, they may be interested in taking the portrait for their collection.
I think you took the portrait around 2006. How did that come about? How did you get to meet and take the photo of Julia Gillard?
I was shooting for an exhibition at the time that I was having at Crown Casino, and I'd done an exhibition in 2005, and they asked me back again. So I sort of shot extra people to add to that, and the exhibition was called Celebrity. So I went about choosing people from Australian life, but I used just general media, television and newspaper, people who stood out in those mediums as the way that I chose people. And I remember seeing a piece on the news where John Howard had been digging in Julia Gillard's past and trying to dig up some muck, and she stood up in Parliament and fiercely berated him, and I just went, my God, who is this woman, you know? I'd never noticed her before, but she just had this sort of fire and determination, and it stood out from the general mediocrity of Australian politics. And so I thought, well, I'll go and take a portrait of her. And so I contacted her and went around to her house and shot a portrait in the driveway of her home. Australian politics is fairly predictable and mediocre, but, you know, by nature, it's sort of aimed at that middle ground, isn't it? So when people do sort of stand up, you know, they get noticed. So, and particularly for a woman to do that in Australian politics, it's very... In Europe, politics is pretty much equally populated with men and women. In Australia, we're still a little bit behind in that regard. So a sad indictment on our culture as it is, it was fascinating to see a strong woman stand up like that.
And tell us how you found Julia Gillard in her own environment.
I got to know her really well. We caught up a few times afterwards, and she did a bit of publicity for me. I haven't seen her since she's become the Prime Minister, but I remember when I was taking the portrait of her, we were having a long conversation about whether Australia was ready for a female Prime Minister, and because I kept saying to her, you're going to be the next Prime Minister of Australia, and we had a conversation about that, and it was around the time that there was talk in the media of whether Condoleezza Rice or Hillary Clinton would be the next President of the United States, and so that's how that also sort of came about. She said that she thought the Australian people were ready for a female Prime Minister, but the way that the Labor Party was being run at the time under Kim Beazley, it wouldn't be possible. She just stood out to me as somebody who, you know, had leadership qualities. And my view on Australian culture is that leadership is something we need to have more of in general, not just in politics, but in business and in cultural areas. And, leadership is what leadership is something we don't necessarily encourage as a culture, and that's a shame that holds us back a bit.
Leadership is something the Broken Hill is also crying out for at the moment as well. Obviously, the city council has its problems, and we're going to be looking for a new general manager. It's a very changing period here in the Silver City at the moment.
I think that's fine. I mean, change is normal. Change is just a part of life. And I think perhaps that's half the trouble. There are members of the city council who have been elected on the back of people who don't want change. You know, and it's a romantic notion, and I can imagine as you get older, and I know, I'm 45, I'm in the middle there somewhere, but I know that the older you get, the less you want things to change, and it's perfectly reasonable for people in their 70s or 60s or 80s to think, gee, life was better back then. Wouldn't it be nice if things went back to the way they were? Or wouldn't it be nice if things didn't change? But that is just romance. It's not reality. Change is the only constant thing in life, and the most successful people in the 21st century are people who can embrace change. We mustn't be afraid of change. You know, leadership is something that that we could do with more of. You know, and positivity. We're not as isolated as we used to be. You know, geography no longer determines the culture. We're geographically isolated, but we're not isolated from the world anymore, not like we were 30, 40, 50 years ago. So things have changed a lot. I can't imagine what he was thinking, but Bob Allgay, one of the councillors, got on your radio station recently and complained that the swimming pool that we have here in Broken Hill was too good for Broken Hill. Now, I'm sure he had his reasons, but I can't imagine what they were. I can't imagine what the outcome was that he was hoping to achieve by getting onto the media and spreading negativity around it. It's just ludicrous. Leadership is vital, but intelligent leadership is what we need.
Robin, you're almost sounding like a politician yourself there. Your name was mentioned in dispatches coming up to the most recent city council election. Is that something that you've considered for the future?
Yeah, it is. I think generally, with the Cultural Alliance, that I've been running the Emmett Mining Cultural Alliance, that's been very effective and very successful. And I think probably I'm more useful to the town outside of politics at the moment. Probably, you know, maybe next time or the time after, I'll think about it more seriously. I'm very passionate about Broken Hill. It's my hometown. I've been very fortunate. I've had a lot of success in my professional career, and I've had the opportunity to meet and mix with a lot of very successful people. And, you know, it's a bit like the Julia Gillard story. Success is predictable. You can see people who are going to be successful and not successful just by the way they speak and the way they act. It takes 5 minutes. Success is a series of habits, and many books have been written about that. So, you know, in life I like to surround myself with people who are positive and who are strong and who have the ability and the determination to make things happen and to make positive change. You know, and I get very distressed when I hear and see this negativity in the media about Broken Hill. It's completely counterproductive, and I can't think of any intelligent reason why people, particularly people who have been elected by the people of Broken Hill to represent them, would go out of their way to spread negativity like that. It's just ludicrous.
Just back to Julia Gillard for the moment. Tell me, when you go into a person's home to take a photo of them, you need to build a rapport. It's not just simply walk in, take the photo and walk out. Is that an easy part of your trade, or is that something that perhaps came to you over a period of time with experience?
I think it's reasonable for people to say, you know, if I say I'm a photographer, oh yeah, you take photos, you know, my kids take photos, taking photos is easy, right? But to be successful at it, it takes a whole bunch of other skills. For example, the general process is when I walk into somebody's home, generally I've not met them before. I may have spoken to them or I may not have. I'm in their home. I like to photograph people in their homes because it's a place that's comfortable for them. So the process is you have to establish trust very quickly, and there are various techniques for doing that. But that's a vital part of getting a great portrait from somebody. It can be a very intimidating and somewhat intimate experience having your portrait taken. So trust is a vital part of that process. You need to establish that very quickly. You know, it's just a matter of working with the person. The portrait is always a collaboration. It's not just taking a picture of someone. You're always collaborating with the person that you're photographing. So it's a record of a relationship, if you like. It's a record of an experience that you've had together. So yeah, trust is vital in that, in any relationship.
And no doubt that isn't something that every subject is open to. I'm sure there's been some opportunities in your career where you've had closed captions, so to speak, from the other person. What do you do in that sort of circumstance?
Well, you just have to keep working at it. You know, there are various ways to do it. I mean, I guess you create an atmosphere in a room. You know, you create an environment where the person that you're photographing, particularly if they're feeling a bit uncomfortable, you do things to make them more comfortable. And in many ways, you give them permission to be comfortable. So one extreme example is that if people are a bit uptight, then I make sure that I'm completely relaxed and completely open. And I might even do something stupid so that they feel, okay, well, it's fine. I can relax. When you shoot a portrait of somebody, and I'm sure it's the same when you interview them, really people just mirror you. So if I'm taking someone's photo and I'm really uptight and my body language is really uptight, then they're going to pick that up on whatever level, and they will find it difficult to relax more than I am. So I really have to set the level of relaxation, the level of comfort and trust and openness. It's up to me to establish that. That's my job.
You have a great creative flair. No doubt there's many things that you'd like to achieve in the future, but is there something in the immediate future that you're working on that you can tell us about?
I'm working on a couple of book ideas. One of them's here in Broken Hill and one of them's elsewhere, and I'm getting back into shooting more sort of commercial photography. You know, my passion at the moment is Broken Hill. This is where I want to live for now. My parents are here. My family is here. I'm at a stage in my life and they're at a stage of their life where I want to be in the same city as them. So once I've realised now that that's the most important thing to me, that everything I do now has to be sort of based here. There's so much to do here. I mean, there are so many things that could be improved in Broken Hill, and there are so many ways in which we let ourselves down just by not making that bit of extra effort, or by, you know, being negative instead of positive, or by following instead of leading. But I can't change everything, you know, one bite at a time.
Does that suggest then you'll be here for the long haul, or is there still a chance that you'll be leaving Broken Hill again and coming back?
Oh, look, in a perfect world, I'll do what I did last year, which is, you know, have my home here and then, you know, travel overseas to work. And that's really the perfect situation for me. And I can't see why that won't work. You know, I now I fly to wherever in Australia to take photographs and just fly back here and this is my home. So, you know, that's the world we live in. We communicate globally now. I can sit here at my desk in Broken Hill and talk to somebody in Madrid or Paris or New York or anywhere. It doesn't matter where you are now. So all I have to do is physically be there to take the photographs, and that just requires an aeroplane. It's not that complicated, really. Many people do it.
And finally, is there a highlight in your career that you look back on and think that's was the perfect moment or a perfect moment in my career?
There are many highlights. I don't know whether I've really sort of ranked them. I'm a bit like that with my friends. I don't sort of rank them, you know. There are many. I think the Broken Hill book was a highlight, to be honest, because that's something that I had wanted to do for many years and finally got around to doing it. You know, there have been I've met some amazing people. I've met, you know, royalty and prime ministers and rock stars, all sorts of people. But again, I bunch them into one category, which is that they are successful people. You know, I don't see them as celebrities. I see them as successful people. If you want to be successful at what you do, and I want to be successful at what I do, and they want to be successful at what they do, and that's what we have in common, you know. And you can always learn so much, you know. Like I've had issues going on in my life or things that I've been thinking about, and I'll, you know, I might be photographing John Howard or Julia Gillard or Ron Barassi or Shane Warne or Bert Newton or somebody, and I'll just ask them, look, can I give my advice for your advice? What do you think I should do about this? You know, if you can take advice from highly successful people, then that's a good thing. It's always an opportunity to learn. I mean, everybody that you meet can teach you something, everybody. You can learn from everyone you meet if you have the right approach to life. There's much for us to learn here in Broken Hill. There's a lot, you know, and we just got to have the right people leading us that have strength and a positive view of life. That's something that we could improve on.